some soda, and some cookies. So if you feel like you want to munch on something, not that you can't do it later, but if you want to munch on something now, not that we have a major showing here like Spider-Man or anything like that, but
Godzilla.
There you go. I can't wait till that comes out. Actually, they're doing a special showing of the original Godzilla countywide in different theaters, in case you didn't know. It's coming out on May 12th, right before the new Godzilla movie comes out. The 1954 version. Yeah. Can you sign in, please, if you don't mind? Yeah. Well, you know, we got the cookies and the water and sodas up here for you, okay? So we can at least... All right, all right. Talking or whatever, and we thought we'd try it this way. I hope you're okay with this setup. Yeah. Want to give it another minute or so before we start. Don't want to make it seem like we just want to get out of here. After all, you guys drove a long ways to get here, so that's probably could be a couple of other folks arriving right now.
But I feel so comfortable because of the fact that I use the express lane, so I feel so comfortable here.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Robert Kalix. I work for the Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transportation Authority in the long-range transportation plan department of the countywide planning and development division of MTA. Before we get started, got a couple of housekeeping things I always want to make sure to tell folks, because sometimes it can be very important. The bathrooms are outside. If you go out this door, it would be to your right. If you go out the rear door, it'll be a little to your right and then to your left, and that's where the men's and women's bathrooms are. And lastly, we have documents up here. You should have a short-range transportation plan available, as well as a PowerPoint that summarizes the highlights of the short-range transportation plan. And, of course, the water, soda, and cookies. You can take more than one cookie, given the fact that there's less than 50 people here today, so you can subdivide it amongst yourselves if you like. Try to give you an assortment of things there. Now, to get to this point, it took a lot of work to be able to prepare this document. It seems easy enough. It's thin enough. But there's a lot of information in here for you to take with you. There's a number of staff that have worked to get to this point, and tonight we have a representative of that overall team from MTA that has worked on this. I have my co-worker, Rena Lum. In case you have any questions, in addition to myself, Rena Lum is actually the person who worked to lead this effort internally at MTA, together with Stacy Alameda, who's up here with me, and also David Lohr, works on our team. He's right back there. And in addition to that, we have a crew that helps set up the electronics. So we have a gentleman back there who helped organize, make sure that the sound system is working. We're recording the comments that are stated here tonight, because as good as we are in writing things down, you don't get everything down. And so we want to make sure that we document whatever public record, public comments that are made tonight. In addition to that, for those of you who would like an interpreter from English to Spanish, Spanish to English, we have the interpreting team in the back who are available, and we're glad to have them here. And with that, I think we'll get started, unless I've missed something in terms of housekeeping. Before I get into the presentation of the short-range transportation plan, I think it's important to talk a little bit about what is the MTA, or Metro. I mentioned earlier, it's the Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transportation Authority. And we were created in 1993 to do three primary tasks that everything else flows from: to plan, countywide planning in terms of transportation, to build or construct transportation projects, be it metro rail, be it highway, be it roadway, and thirdly, to operate a transit system. Those three primary tasks are in the legislation and the charter that we are directed and guides everything that we do at MTA. Also, to carry out that mandate, there are over 10,000 employees that consist of operating, building, and planning. We have over 4,000 bus operators, 3,600 mechanics, communications staff, and of course administrative staff and planning staff as part of the 10,000 employees. We serve over 1,400 square miles in the county of Los Angeles, population of approximately 9.6 million people. The economy, if it was measured as a nation itself, Los Angeles County would probably be ranking around the 16th or 15th largest economy in the world. So it's a very complex, very dynamic powerhouse in terms of what we do as a county, in terms of what we produce in our gross domestic product. And we bring a lot of value not only to ourselves as a county, but also to the rest of the state and the nation. I wanted to give you that as a background because we serve about 1.4 million people in terms of passengers that use our system. We have over 2,300 buses. We have over 5 metro rail lines that serve the community, and you're going to see shortly, we're expanding that as well. So with that complexity, then we have to be able to communicate this in terms of a long-range plan, which we did and got approved in the fall of 2009, the long-range transportation plan. And with it, what you have today, what we're going to see today, is where are we since then? What progress have we made? What is coming in the short run, so that we have a good idea of what to expect and also what we've accomplished? And with that, we'll go to the first slide. You can basically say that the short-range transportation plan is a 10-year action plan that updates the financial assumptions, because we make certain assumptions in 2009. How much has changed in terms of what we budgeted back then, in terms of what we actually are at today? We've also updated transportation priorities. Things have changed since 2009. Things get shuffled around. The board of directors approves projects as we go along, given the blueprint of the long-range transportation plan. Also, we want to identify how we can keep our system in a good state of good repair, so that we're reinvesting and maintaining the system that we've built, that we are operating, so that our customers and that the public feels that we are being good stewards of this. Identifies our progress and sustainability efforts, measures the benefits of the planned projects that we have, and lays out possible path to accelerating projects if certain financial sources are adopted in the next coming years. The financial picture. Basically, everything we do flows from what resources do we have available to fund and to build and operate our system. And we are expecting, we are projecting $88.2 billion is assumed through this plan through fiscal year 2024. It's funded with more than 45 sources of funding from the local, meaning our sales tax revenue, from the state, grants, and from the federal government as well. About $27 billion is projected to operate our bus and rail system out of this 88.2, and about $35 billion are available for highway, roadway, signal synchronization, and bicycle and pedestrian improvements that are included in all of this. Next. Future projects. What you see on this is the spaghetti map that includes not only the short-term projects in the next 10 years in terms of public and highway projects, but also beyond that, to give you an idea what is expected beyond that and what we promised folks in the long-range transportation plan. The following slide identifies what we expect to do in the next 10 years in terms of public transportation, meaning six major transit corridors have been identified that we expect to be built by 2024. And that includes the Expo Line, that includes the Foothill Extension, that includes the Crenshaw project. It also includes projects going along Wilshire Boulevard, what they call the Subway to the Sea, which is the Purple Line extension, and as well as that in total is about 32 miles of track, which will get us up to about 120 miles of Metro Rail service by 2024. We're also providing funds for our regional transit partners because we have a number of other local bus operators in addition to what we do as MTA. And that includes our access services, Metrolink, and the immediate needs sources as well. And for those of you who are wondering, well, that's nice to know that you're doing a lot for public transit, but we also have highways where the majority of folks travel. And we have a lot that is being invested in highways. And that is taking the form of carpool lanes. It's taking the form of, which is approximately 76 carpool lane miles completed on the I-5, the I-10, the I-405, and the High Desert Corridor, as well as interchange and highway operational improvements throughout. So this, not only in the PowerPoint, but in the plan, it shows exactly where we expect to build these things. So you can see it there very distinctly where those things are going to go, where those investments are going to be made. Next. One of the things that we've want to make sure and let folks know is that we're investing in the system that the public has given us stewardship over, the public transportation system, the highway system, the roadway system. We want to show that we're being good stewards of those things that we as MTA are responsible for, meaning the Metro Rail system that we have invested billions of dollars in. We want to make sure that we're reinvesting and maintaining that in a state of good repair. And it falls into three categories: safety, service delivery, and quality of service. The plan looks beyond just annual needs. We need to know, what are we going to do in 5 years? What are we going to do in 10 years so that you can rest assured that when you go to the Gold Line, it's going to be there, that the service will be frequent enough for you to want to continue to take the Gold Line, okay, or the Foothill Extension, or any other extension that gets built out towards this way, or anywhere else in our network. And the plan dedicates approximately $4.8 billion of the 88.2 towards that effect. Sustainability. In the last 10 years, there's been a very concerted effort that MTA, as an agency, operate in a more sustainable fashion so that we are maximizing the use of our revenue and the use of the equipment and the use of all the investment that we're doing. But not only that, we have also been asked and mandated by the state and federal government to start looking at how are we working with jurisdictions and others across our county that is in a sustainable fashion, that is complying with those sustainable efforts that everybody wants to demonstrate that we're living so that it contributes to a better quality of life. Then this plan, as we are projecting, expects to reduce greenhouse gas equivalent emissions by more than 1,700 tons per day. And our majority of funds, approximately 87%, is invested in transit, carpool lanes, ride-sharing programs, bikeways, and pedestrian linkages so that we can maximize the use of what we have and start looking at ways of making that dollar go further than it is today. Next. So the question also then, so what are we getting for this investment? I like to be able to say, gosh, out of this $88.2 billion, you know, our speeds on our freeways and our speeds on our streets are just going to go up by so much. But we can say that we're holding the line on terms of the speeds. It's not a heck of an improvement, but we're holding the line with this investment. Without this investment, we would have a lot more congestion on our freeways, a lot more congestion on arterials, and that will impact negatively our quality of life. And in the other measure that we're looking at is how many more people can we put through the system with the same resources that we have available to us. So we're maximizing the use of those investment infrastructure that we have in place. Next. The other criteria or the other way that we're asked to look at this is accessibility. Are all income groups having accessible means of transportation to get to their place of work, their place of school, to those places that are very, very important to our population? And we have a model that helps us measure that, and we're able to say that with this additional investment, folks will have more access to more places, to more destinations throughout the county. Next. And then lastly is, what is that doing to our environment? Is the air going to be worse in 10 years or better in 10 years? And what we found is that without this additional investment, it would be much worse than with it. And that's one of the mandates that we have, is to invest in transportation infrastructure that helps us mitigate or lessen the impact of greenhouse gas emissions or pollutants in our air. And we're able to demonstrate that we can. Next. And lastly, what is this additional mobility, additional accessibility do in terms of our economic output as a county? And we're able to say through an economic analysis, a sophisticated economic model that we have, that we're able to show that 200,000 additional jobs will be created over the next 10 years as a result of the mobility options that we are going to be offering through the $88.2 billion worth of investment that we're going to be making over the next 10 years. And this translates into about $33 billion being pumped into the countywide economy. Now, several of the things that our board is struggling with is how can we generate additional resources, financial resources, or funding resources to provide additional investment in transportation infrastructure. And one of those ways is a national effort called America Fast Forward, transportation bonds, that we hope in the future will help us be able to fund additional projects. Additional New Starts grants. What that means is MTA is always aggressively pursuing federal funding for projects, primarily for those projects that are transit related. Our Metro Rail program was funded largely by these New Start grants. So we aggressively pursue these grants so that we can compete, if not as good, better than other cities around the country, so we can get this funding. And then public-private partnerships. We're pursuing public-private partnerships in a number of projects, including highway projects, so that we can make them work for our population. And lastly, our board is considering sometime in the next couple of years either extending the existing sales tax measure that was approved about 6 years ago called Measure R, that can either extend the horizon an additional 30 or 40 or whatever number of years, that would then allow us to bond additional, have additional bonding capacity to have additional resources so that we can fund some of these projects and accelerate some of these projects, as you'll see in the next slide, what that means. Or do we consider an additional half-cent sales tax measure that will help us have additional funds to be able to build these projects that I think most of us can agree we can use and need? Next. This chart, what it does is it gives you an idea what that translates into. If we had additional resources, we can accelerate these projects that you see on this page anywhere from 2 years to up to 12 years so that we can have more in a shorter period of time, because there is a great need in Los Angeles County, as you know, for additional transportation investment. There's just a great need throughout LA County. Next. Our next steps is we're in the middle of public comment period. We've released the short-range transportation plan. It's on our web. We're distributing in public. We're going to councils of governments and making presentations there and distributing the plan through there. But it's on our website that is available for you and others and many, many others to review it and get comments to us. You can get comments to us by making a statement tonight. You can make comments to us through email at metroplan@metro.net or in writing to us there downtown at the Gateway, at One Gateway Plaza, Los Angeles, California. And we expect our public comment period to go till June 18th, giving folks plenty of time to get information to us as to what maybe they think should be added or should be considered. And then all those comments, believe it or not, all those comments are going to be put into a board report that we are going to provide to our board of directors, and their staff reviews it to see what are folks telling us that they think is important. And they do read that report. I can guarantee you they read that report, because when we meet with them as staff, they go through them and say, what do you think about this? What are we doing about this? Or et cetera. So it's not just for our benefit as staff, but it does get into the minds and plans of the Board of Directors of MTA, which is our County Board of Supervisors, representatives from the League of Cities, as well as the Mayor of Los Angeles. And we expect to go to the Metro Board July 24th for their consideration, which will include your public comment, any changes that we need to make to the plan that we may have overlooked or a typo that needs to be fixed. And then we also provide what is called, what I call an errata sheet. Kind of says, oh, look, on this page, we're going to change this to this, or we're going to add this on this page. So folks can see what changed since we put out the draft. Okay? And that's kind of where we're at right now. We have a couple of more meetings similar to this one. We've gone already to four other ones before this one in different parts of the county. We expect to go and be in the city of Huntington Park in what is called the Gateway Cities area. And then on Thursday, we expect to be in the city of Hawthorne in the South Bay Cities area. And then we also have a couple of microphones, so you don't have to get up and speak in that center chair over there if you don't want to be on the spot to make any comments tonight and ask any questions of us. And for that, thank you very much for your time, and we're here for questions. Thank you. Oh, and I still have a lot of cookies up here. Okay.
Sure. My name's Jackson Lamb. I'm from Bike San Gabriel Valley. And on page three of the financial picture for everybody, on the bottom it says $35 billion available for highway, roadway, signal, bicycle, and pedestrian programs.
Yes.
Just wondering, is there a further detail of a breakdown of what the $35 billion will be split into for those? I didn't...
Would that be in the plan, Rena, or would that be in the tech doc?
If you're looking, excuse me, you mentioned that you were with the Bike San Gabriel Valley. If you turn to the plan on page 12, at the bottom we have the call for projects funding, and we have bike improvements, the third from the bottom. And so there is, during this 10-year period, $134.6 million set aside for bike improvements in particular. And then because the call for projects is very multimodal in funding now, there's also, for example, there could be funding for bike projects in the RSTI, Regional Surface Transportation Improvements, as well as other modes. But dedicated solely to bike, for sure, there's a minimum of 134.6, but potentially more.
Okay.
So go ahead and make a comment.
Yes.
If you want to say your name too, that'd be helpful.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andrew Wang, and I'm a recent graduate of American Career College, and apparently that's kind of like what I was representing today, but not quite. And I was just so thrilled about this plan and how all the improvements that's going to be coming along. I so look forward to the improvements. And I certainly look forward to it. And I am happy today.
Thank you.
My name is Clayton Eric. I'm with State Senator Ed Hernandez. I just have a more of a, I think I might not know how to read this graph. It's one of the graphs, it's on page 30 of the pamphlets. Also, we went over it in the PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. But my question is, how come the 2024 no build is the same, you know, the same result as the, you know, building? I'm just wondering if I'm reading the graph incorrectly.
Oh, go ahead.
There's actually a slight improvement. The scale of that bar chart, you can't really tell, but there is a slight improvement. And the reason that you don't see a great or dramatic improvement during those times, because the plan, the MFAC model, which we're used to calculate the emission benefits, it assumes that over the next 6 to 8 years, cars are going to be a lot cleaner and a lot of the old, dirty vehicles are going to be out of the system. So that's why you don't see a dramatic decrease in emissions, but we're holding the line and it's getting better.
She's our air quality expert in our team, so I defer to her comments. But it seems counterintuitive, I have to say. But that's the reason why. It's the assumption into our model. It's okay.
This is unrelated to the previous question, but for the 2024 accelerated plan, does that depend upon the passing of Measure R?
Either extension of Measure R for another 30 or 40 years or whatever that period is, or an additional half-cent sales tax measure. It gives us additional bonding capacity.
Thank you.
Just want to say, we also have a, what we call a technical document. For those of you who are more technically inclined to look at assumptions for the financial assumptions or for the travel demand assumptions, you're welcome to have one. So for those of you who want one, I'm more than glad to share that.
No questions, but I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Henry Lowe, and I'm with State Assembly Member Ed Child's office. I staff transportation issues for the Assembly Member. I just wanted to say thank you for convening this meeting. I just wish there were more people in the audience. But
well, just so you know, we did advertise in about 50-plus odd publications across the county, including the San Gabriel Valley, in 9 different languages, including Spanish, Mandarin, Vietnamese, Cambodian, Russian, Korean, I think I'm missing one or two, Thai. And we were actually, this place was recommended to us to have this because you have the service council meetings here, so people are kind of aware of this place being for that, and we just thought we'd piggyback after. Off of that reputation. Well, if you think we're you think we can wrap it up, or do we need additional time for people to kind of do a little bit more? Yes, sir.
Question.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Andrew Yip from Bike Sangro Valley.
Yes.
I have a question. I just want to, based on our calculations, we have the allocation of funding for pedestrian and bicycle improvements, adding the... What is that? the bicycle improvements and the pedestrian improvement, the allocated funds. We have it allocated at
seven tenths
of 1%. Is that correct?
Could be. I'm sorry. I don't have my calculator, but I will trust that what you're calculating is accurate. Yes.
So we have less than 1% allocated for pedestrian bicycle infrastructure.
Here, Stacey?
As I was mentioning earlier, this portion here just refers to the call for projects funding, and you're looking at just the two modes that are solely bike and ped.
Right.
So again, in the RSTI mode and in goods movement mode and the signal synchronization mode and transit capital, we have a lot of multimodal projects now. So this isn't reported here, but for example, I think back in 1999, something like 6% of the funding in the call for projects went to just purely bike and ped modes.
Right.
But now in our 2013 call, something like 56% of the funding of the overall call in the 2013 call for project cycle went to bike and went to multimodal projects. So it was bike and ped, anything sustainable, TDM. And so you're just looking at one small little mm-hmm. chunk of the number here.
Okay.
The other thing to keep in mind is that bike racks on buses aren't included. That isn't it. That's a big ticket item. But it's things like that that are hard to measure. When someone asks me, what are we investing in the San Gabriel Valley, since we can't extract the bus service amount that is invested out here, it's hard to say X billion. And then when you try to compare to other subregions, it looks like, well, they're getting more than we are, and why aren't we getting this? It's because it is multimodal. Signal synchronization does help bicycles, but it's not tagged that way. The cars in our trains were modified so we can accommodate more bicycles, where before it wasn't. And that doesn't have a dollar value attached to it, but it does cost. You know, so granted, it could. Many bicycle folks that are advocating for bicycle investment feel it's not enough, that more should be done. And I think more is being done, but it's always, again, what are the resources available to us and what are we going to do with it? That which we have. But thank you.
Yeah.
We hit each area for community meetings, and then we've reached out to all the COGs, so we are meeting at all the COGs. So altogether, I think we've had about, 30 meetings?
We're also available for those groups who feel we should come over and make a presentation. We're very amenable to that. We just don't know which groups want us to, you know, crash their agenda or something. But we're available for that. So if you have a group that you think we should go and let us know, and we'll do everything possible to come. That's one of the reasons why the comment period is also extended, so people have additional time and don't feel that next week it's over, okay, because that was the original timeline. So we do have additional time for that. Do you have a group in mind that you think maybe we should do this presentation to?
I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
I'm all done.
Oh, okay.
You look quite smart to make a comment to that. I was just going to recommend a group to present to.
Would you like to recommend?
Sure.
So I'm from Hyacinta Heights, so we have the Hyacinta Heights Improvement Association. Mm-hmm. It's very active in the community. Hyacinta Heights is not a city, mm-hmm. so it's a unincorporated community in Donkanabu's district, mm-hmm. Of over 55,000 people. Mm. We're served by the Foothill Transit buses. And also next door, Roland Heights, as well, is an unincorporated community, also in Donkanabu's district. They also have their own community organization, and it's all, they both meet once a month, and they send reports, and they actually report back to Donkanabu. Mm-hmm. So they have a significant support base, mm-hmm. And they're able to rally up people to go to these meetings. Mm-hmm. So if anything, they should be approached, especially when the Foothill buses and the Metro buses run through these communities, mm-hmm. From the Puente Hills Transit Center.
When is your next meeting?
I'm not sure about Roland Heights, but the one in Hyacinta Heights meets, I believe, the third Monday of every month. Mm. So that one's coming up. So if
let us know if we can, you know, if we go through this comment period, if for some reason in the next couple of months you think, hey, MTA, can you come out here and just tell us what you're up to? We have staff that does that. If it isn't me, it would be somebody else. But I don't see a reason why we couldn't.
And it would be a good area too, because La Puente is there, as mm-hmm. well as industry, mm-hmm. Which are communities have a lot of people that rely on public transit, mm-hmm. so it would be great to have something out there.
Sure, just I think you have our contact information. Please let us know.
Okay.
Send us an email with potential dates or times, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
Same thing goes for you, too. If you think there's a place that we need to go to, let us know, and we'll see what we can do for that. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Out of curiosity, was any local press contacted to cover tonight's meeting?
I would have to ask my media relations folks, but we try to inform as many people as possible.
Right. Just a curious question, because I mean, obviously, I know, this is the middle of the weekday, and perhaps, you know, it's hard for folks to come out, but. I would just imagine, though, it would probably be helpful if you had local, well, not just local press, but also some of the local ethnic press, almost mm-hmm. Some of the local ethnic that's also bilingual press cover mm-hmm. this event, and maybe also for future events as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay.
Hi, it's Jackson again. So I wrote this on the comment card as well, but I just wanted to let everybody know in person. If the goal for Metro is better sustainability, better air, and also faster speeds on the streets and on the highways, I think we need to make a bigger push for bike and pedestrian transit. Because right now, 48% of all trips made in LA County are 2 miles or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from your guys' studies. So if we had more people on, if we had more people on the streets using their legs and using bicycles to get around, that means one less car in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to invest more than what is allocated here. Earlier you guys had talked about, a lot of this is muddied in here in terms of what investment that we have in bicycles. But I don't really see signal synchronization or goods movement improvements really helping bicycle or pedestrians at all. Those are really for cars. I drive a car too, and mm-hmm. I have nothing against cars. I use them myself.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely need to get away from the car-centric focus that we have for so long. And focus more, invest a little more in bicycles and pedestrian transit.
Mm-hmm.
And the money that you put in to bike and peds go a further way than the same amount of money that you put into
yes.
the roadways. So that was my comment.
Thank you.